Welcome to Prosperity Talk with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business.
Welcome to Prosperity Talk. This is P. Christopher Music, the financial prosperity coach. And I'd like to congratulate you for taking steps on the route to financial prosperity by listening to the show. You know, I created this show so that you can learn the fundamental laws of financial prosperity as summarized in a body of knowledge I put together called The Golden Route, 21 Principles of Financial Prosperity. As a financial prosperity coach, it's my job to align correct solutions to help you improve your overall financial experience and help you achieve real financial prosperity in your household and your business while you live your art. With this show, I've decided it's my mission to bring you amazing content by interviewing innovators and experts that are truly rock stars at what they do. These professionals will share their experience and knowledge as it relates to the 21 principles of financial prosperity so you can apply them within today's economic and financial realities. So today we'll be discussing the Golden Route principle, pursue excellence and professionalism in your work. And I have a very special guest who will be sharing his experience on secrets to publishing a bestseller. But first, let me give you my perspective on this vital prosperity principle. To pursue excellence and professionalism in your work means more than simply knowing your craft. It's about understanding the importance of mastering your craft. It's how to be seen as an expert in your field and using that influence to help your public achieve the best possible results for the services that they've hired you for. So today, I'd like to introduce you to my special guest. He is a number one best-selling author and has been featured on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and The Wall Street Journal. Through his trademarked brand, Publish, Promote, Profit program, he helps his clients to create their professional best-selling book, which is a guarantee, by the way. And through the process of the program, he teaches them how to use that book to grow their income by getting speaking engagements and free publicity and utilizing other lead generation strategies. As an example of his personal success, he's used his proven strategies to build his last company, resulting in over $1 million in income in less than 15 months' time. As a national presenter, he has taught thousands of entrepreneurs, coaches, and consultants how to stop hunting for clients and position themselves as the hunted. He is the founder of BestsellerPublishing.org. Welcome to Prosperity Talk, Rob Cosberg.
Thank you so much, Christopher. Great to be on with you. Wow, that was such a great introduction. It's almost like I had something to do with it.
Well, of course you did. You know, so what I'd like to do today, Rob, is spend a little time interviewing you on the prosperity principle, pursuing excellence and professionalism in your work, as it relates to helping our listeners understand some of the secrets to publishing a bestseller, okay?
Love that. Yes, absolutely.
Great. So I'd like to start out by having you tell our listeners a little more about yourself, how you got started in the book publishing business.
Yeah, it's well, at least to me, it's an interesting story. And maybe I should ask this first of you. You know, do your listeners want the ugliness or just all the sunshine and roses?
Well, I like the ugliness because we all, as professionals, struggle to get where we want to go.
Right. Well, I'll share that then, and try to be as brief as possible. I don't come from a publishing background. I'm a business owner. I'm a marketing person. And in the early 2000s, I owned a real estate company actually in South Florida, and pretty successful. We were doing over $100 million a year in real estate closings, mortgages, et cetera. And I'd been in real estate since I was 18 years old, and I'm 50 now, to give you some perspective. Anyway, long story short, we didn't see the real estate crisis coming the way it did. And my business went from earning me $2.5 million a year in income to zero in 2007, 2008. I mean, it didn't just, you know, lose 20, 30, 40, 50%. It went to zero because of the kind of mortgages we were doing and real estate we were financing, which was, you know, your high-end properties. That market just froze up.
Wow.
So, you know, I was there kind of licking my wounds in 2007. I didn't want to get back into real estate. I was really kind of done with it, as you might imagine. And I was in a mastermind group with some really successful professionals that several of them had written books. And their suggestion to me, because I was looking to rebrand myself in an entirely new industry, was to write a book myself. I didn't know anything about what that meant. And, you know, by nature, I don't think I'm naturally a writer, although I am a good communicator, and I felt like I could share, you know, excellent principles with people. And, you know, the short version is I made a lot of mistakes and did a lot of things wrong, things that we've been able to correct. But I wrote a book. It became a bestseller. It actually positioned me on media. I got my own radio show, which I did for a number of years. I did 4 hours of live radio every single week. It positioned me to do speaking engagements, and my business just exploded in a very, very short period of time and in a really difficult economy. This was 2008, 2009. And over the next year or so, I started having people come out of the woodwork and say, how did you do it? You know, how did you go from a brand new industry being a completely unknown to being positioned on radio and speaking engagements and kind of exploding your income in this economy? And I said, I did it with a book, and I launched it, and I made it a bestseller, and I did all these steps. And I started people having business owners ask me, you know, can you help me to do that? And in 2010 and 2011, I started doing that for other business owners via bestseller publishing. Of course, it's changed, you know, over the last couple of years, and we've added in pieces that business owners need to use a book to now kind of, you know, in a no-brainer fashion, really, as long as they're experts, to explode their business. And as you say, it's a golden route. It's an amazing way for people to give their expertise to the world and position themselves as the hunted instead of continuing having to hunt for the next client. So it was a lot of ups and downs, you know, but boy, I'm sure thankful looking back now that I experienced what I did, because it led me to something that I totally love doing.
It's amazing what happens to us when we're faced with certain challenges, you know?
Yeah, really is. Really is.
All right, so now you're in this publishing business. Why would a professional executive or a self-employed professional need to be a best-selling author in today's marketing environment? What opportunities are there?
Yeah, well, those are almost like two different questions. Why would they need to? Well, you know, in one sense, no one has to do anything, right? If an attorney out of law school is happy taking a $35,000 a year salary and working 60 hours a week for 20 years hoping to become a partner, then they can do that, right? They can suffer and struggle all they want in their current business. And what I found in my own businesses and iterations through the years is that if you can get your marketing piece right and you have an endless flow of people that are coming to you, that see you as the expert, that are hunting for your help, then you can write your own ticket. And yeah, there are steps to do that, you know, to make that happen. But once that happens for you, you know, the world changes. So no one has to do that. But your second point, the opportunities are endless. I mean, you know, I mean, think for a moment of the number of people in any industry, business type industry, that you would consider an expert. You know, maybe someone like a John Maxwell or a Zig Ziglar or even a Susie Orman or Tony Robbins, or, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. All of these people were relative unknowns until they wrote their book, their first book, and then multiple books. Robert Kiyosaki, Tim Ferriss, the list goes on and on. And you know, in the day and age that we live in, having your own best-selling book opens up amazing doors to have speaking opportunities, free publicity, et cetera. And now people start seeing you as the expert, and it totally transforms your branding and whether or not you have to continue hunting. So the opportunities are amazing when it comes to having your own best-selling book.
You know, I couldn't agree more. I lecture to professionals all the time, and I run into many of them who says, you know, I have content for a book, because, you know, any professional selling any of their services has content. Now, when they go to try to publish a book, what would you say is the biggest mistake you've seen authors make in trying to get these books published?
Yeah, good question. And there are a lot of mistakes. I know because I've made most of them myself. So I would say the first big mistake in creating your content and your book is in writing a book about yourself rather than about your ideal client and audience. And a lot of people come to me and they tell me about the amazing story that they have and the ups and downs that they've experienced in their life. And I have to, in the nicest way possible, let them know that if your name is not Kim Kardashian or Hillary Clinton, I would recommend that you not write an autobiography because people are not really interested in our lives. They don't know us yet. They're interested in their own lives. And however, what you can do is you can take your story and you can fit it in to experiences and learning lessons that now can transform someone else's life. So really it's about packaging your story and your content so that the audience says, wow, that would be great for me. I really want to read that. So when it comes to putting the content together, that's the biggest mistake that I see. There is another mistake when it comes to actually launching the book and publishing the book, and I'm happy to share that with you as well, you know, if you like.
Sure, please do.
Yeah, once you have a great book, you know, and let's say you've positioned it correctly, let's say that the audience, you know, your ideal client, your ideal audience, your reader would be super interested in that. The biggest mistake that people make after that is they think that just by, you know, putting the book out there into the, you know, the digital universe or even physical versions and bookstore shelves that the book is going to, you know, miraculously sell or it's going to just on its own do all of the work. And the reality is, and kind of a harsh reality, what I found with traditional publishing, and this is so counterintuitive, but publishers don't really know how to sell books. That's not what they do. We did things a little bit differently because we're marketing people. But your average publisher is always looking for the author to have a platform to sell their own book. And so the mistake that people make is not having a strategy in place to launch their book and really make their book successful right from the get-go. The average book sells about 200 copies in its lifetime, and that is about 80% sold to the author themselves and sitting in their garage. So we don't, you know, when we do a book for a client, we don't want an average book. We need a bestseller, and because it's bestsellers that open the doors for our clients to have the opportunity. So those are the two big mistakes kind of in the two different phases, the creation of the book and then, you know, what to do after the book itself is done.
All right, great. So, you know, obviously in the world of publishing nowadays has changed a lot. You know, for example, with the world of Amazon coming on the scene. Now, how has publishing changed since Amazon started doing what they do?
Wow, it's changed. It's changed beautifully. I mean, number one, it's made, you know, guys like me successful because it's given us a platform. Amazon is the 800-pound gorilla in publishing, and they are changing publishing. They sell more books than the next 10 biggest publishers in the world combined. So if you can figure out Amazon and how their algorithms work, then you can tap into the largest resource of book buyers on the planet. So it's given, you know, guys like me, when I wrote my book in 2008, an opportunity to have a platform and tap into a group of buyers and people that would be interested in my content. Now, even over the last few years, that, of course, has grown tremendously because Amazon has so many books and has its own bestseller list and has a way that, you know, people can connect both with the digital book and the physical version of the book. So I don't know what things are going to look like in traditional publishing in 5 years, but I can tell you that your traditional publishers are dinosaurs. I mean, even New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling authors like Robert Kiyosaki and Tim Ferriss, who wrote The 4-Hour Workweek, they are now self-publishing or using publishing companies like myself, even though they can get seven-figure paydays from, you know, your HarperCollins and Simon & Schuster. And they're doing that because they understand that Amazon allows you to control your book, which these other traditional publishers don't, and Amazon gives you the lion's share of the royalties of your book. And, you know, long term, the book is worth far more than any publisher is going to stroke you a check for. So it's the opportunities are just amazing when it comes to the digital publishing age and using print on demand like Amazon and CreateSpace. Very, very exciting times.
Yeah, I've had some familiarity with that myself, having used both of those in my previous books. So, you know, it gets us to the next topic that sometimes has a little bit of controversy around it, print versus digital. Now, how important is it to have both a print version of your book and a digital version, especially if a professional is using the book to promote his or her personal brand and business?
Yeah, yeah, good question. We do get that asked of us a lot. And, you know, I'm of the mind that you need both. And there is no reason to just do one or the other. What we do is we of course, create both for our clients. But when it comes to the marketing and the launch of the book, our primary focus is digital. So we're, you know, because there are so many opportunities to market online via social media, you know, there are just dozens of websites that millions of book buyers go to every single month. I live in L.A., and in Pasadena, which is just a beautiful area, old town right near the Rose Bowl, a Barnes & Noble that took up like a whole block just closed down. And, you know, now it's shops and whatnot. And, you know, in some ways that's sad, but that's also indicative of how the environment is changing. So when it comes to launching the book, we recommend digital. However, when it comes to using that book to get good speaking engagements or to get positioned on radio or television, people want to touch it. You know, producers want to touch and feel the book. Even clients, let's say you're trying to land a big client, you can use your book as a competition killer. And people are just much more impressed with the physical copy. So during the launch, digital, and then afterwards, physical is how we use our books to real lasting success.
Well, that's awesome. That's very important feedback there. Many people struggle with that question. I have myself, as a matter of fact. So that's great. Now, the last question I have here is, let's say, for example, a professional decided, you know what, I do want to go into this project of actually getting this book I have in me out there for the world. What is the first step that anyone could take if they're thinking about getting that book out there?
Yeah, you know, I'll answer that as it pertains to what we do. Our first step with a potential author is always a one-on-one call. You know, we want to understand what the likelihood is of success for that author. You know, if someone was, I mean, let's just pick a random topic. If someone was selling balloons and, you know, their average client was worth 99 cents and they needed to sell a million balloons to, you know, to make $1 million in their business, well, writing a book might not be the best route for that person to go. However, if a business owner, a coach, a consultant of some kind has a good, you know, lifetime client value, $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, then it becomes a no-brainer for that client to write a book because they'll be able to use that book forever to get new clients, to speak in front of their ideal clients, to get on radio, TV, etc. So we always, the first step for us is always what we call a strategy session call, which is, you know, let's really talk about what the likelihood of success is for your book. We want to make sure that someone is an expert. You know, we can't make them an expert. All we do is position them as an expert. Someone already has to have the knowledge and the expertise that they're bringing to the book before it can be made into a bestseller. So, you know, those are the first steps that we take. We don't worry about the content. We don't worry, you know, initially about you know, putting together step by step. If someone's thinking of doing this on their own, I would say the very first thing they need to do is take a step back, not worry about starting to write or not worry about table of contents. Just start to think, what goals do I want to achieve? What is the, you know, the real outcome a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now that I want to attain with this book? And is that realistic? And that's kind of what our initial strategy session call is all about with someone.
Well, that's awesome. Now, you know, obviously this is a short podcast, so we're going to be running out of time here soon. And I want to thank Rob for being with us today and sharing his experience and knowledge. Rob, you truly are a rock star at what you do. But before you go, would you please tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you and where they can get more information about writing a best-selling book?
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for saying that, Christopher. I certainly feel the same way about you and love what you guys do. I think it's just amazing. You're giving fantastic content to the world. You know, obviously someone can go to our website. It's bestsellerpublishing.org. You know, we're in Southern California, so 9 to 5 Pacific. They can also just call into our office and speak to one of our project managers. I'm usually pretty tied up, but if I'm not, I'm always happy to speak to people as well. Our number in our office in Southern Cal is 626-765-9750. But just to see some of our successes and that sort of thing, we have tons of successful books we've launched, and all that's at bestsellerpublishing.org. So either way is totally fine with us.
Well, thanks so much, Rob. Folks, our financial experiences, whether a good experience or a bad one, really comes down to one simple element: planning. You see, financial planning is a very misunderstood concept. In actuality, it's really very simple. It's all about time and money. Correct financial planning allows us to reverse the sequence from spending time making money, and it allows us to convert that money into time. And I think it's important to remember that prosperity is not only about financial security, it's about abundance and growth and really doing what you want to do. So at this moment, I want you to grab a pen and paper and answer this one simple question. Based on what you learned today from Rob, what one simple thing could you do this week that would move you forward on the route to financial prosperity? Write it down, make a plan, and get it done. The financial position you find yourself in today is your indicator of how well you have understood and applied these 21 basic principles. It is my hope that you use this wisdom to achieve what is most important to you. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Prosperity Talk. Please visit my podcast channel at www.financialprosperitytalk.com to listen to previous episodes of this podcast. I also want to invite you to connect with me on all my social media channels. That could be Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn, and YouTube. We have all kinds of information out there regarding our private practice millionaire model and all kinds of resources for you as a professional to apply these basic principles for your own financial abundance and growth. You can find a link to all my social media on my website at www.pchristophermusic.com to learn more about these 21 principles of financial prosperity. I invite you to follow me and have a discourse with me so you too can have a very successful, positive financial experience while you live your art. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Prosperity Talk with the Financial Prosperity Coach, Christopher Music. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.